Live from Houston, Texas, the humidity capital of the world, it's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Hey everybody, it is Monday. And as I always say, Monday is really a fantastic day. I know a lot of us sometimes are challenged by Monday. And I think that that really comes down to what your goals are and how are you preparing for Monday. I think Monday is probably the best day of the week to get you refocused, re-energized, re-motivated to what you are doing. Hey, and speaking of dealing with, let's say, your goals, or in some cases, the mask that we wear, our regular contributor, Linda McCarthy, is back. And if you guys are keeping up, you know, we had her on the show a week or so ago. We were talking about the masks. And, you know, I've been thinking about this since she's been on the show because, you know, interestingly enough, some of our heroes, right, wear masks. You have the Lone Ranger, you have Batman, you have several other heroes that wear masks. But we also wear masks. We wear masks sometimes even when it's just us. So we have a mask that we let the world see, and then we might have a mask that we let our best friends see, and then we have the mask that that we let ourselves see. And so I'm excited to have Linda back so we can carry on this discussion, because I think this is one of the most brilliant themes that we've had on the show for a while. And so for you guys who are just joining us for the first time, Dr. Linda McCarthy, she's best-selling author, she's a health and wellness expert, and as I mentioned earlier, she's one of our regular contributors. Dr. McCarthy has a PhD in metaphysical counseling and is a board-certified life strategies coach with the American Association of Drugless Practitioners. She's a member of the American Holistic Medical Association and as I mentioned earlier, co-author of the number one best-selling book, The Wellness Code. Linda is also an inspirational speaker, featured contributor to online magazines, and winner of the Editor's Choice Award for The Wellness Code. As a life makeover expert, her passion is to show clients how their thoughts, feelings, and emotions have a profound effect on their mind, body, and spirit. Linda is located in Scottsdale, Arizona, but offers phone consultations throughout the U.S. As I mentioned earlier, she's one of our regular contributors and really someone that I enjoy speaking with and talking to. Dr. Linda McCarthy, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back. Happy Monday, everyone. I'm excited. We've got a lot of good information today. I love Mondays.
I love Mondays as well. Okay, so when we ended the show last, we were touching on different types of masks that we wear and how they can affect our health. Can we expand on this a little bit more?
Sure, of course. So let's just do a quick recap of the last show.
Okay.
We talked about the top five. And then later, I'd like to discuss the one that got the most response, and then maybe some tips to help, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, so there was the avoidance mask, the people pleaser, so that was the one that I wore most of the time, the functional mask, the angry mask, and the happy mask. The thing is, any emotion or behavior can be worn as a mask. You can mask insecurity by constantly putting others down, and we know people who do that all the time.
Yes,
or you can mask, or you can mask avoidance by always appearing to be just, I'm too busy. You know, you're too busy to spend time with your friends or family because you just want to avoid anything that's uncomfortable. And in the short run, does it work? Yes, it provides some protection, but the cost of wearing it long term is enormously high because if you continue to alter who you are in order to fit in, it's going to start creating resentment and emotional exhaustion. I mean, people need to feel connected to others, but that can't happen if you're constantly hiding behind a mask. And it also creates anxiety because who you are is eventually defined by others, and then you're going to find yourself becoming more and more invisible. I like to think of it as almost a personal identity theft. And that's just the emotional part. physically,
right.
Oh gosh, it causes a spike in your blood pressure, headaches, neck pain, shoulder pain, changes in your sex drive. If nothing else gets your attention, that should. And your ability and your ability to sleep, because that too is
right.
critical for your health. In fact, there's a great quote by, and I know I'm probably going to get his name wrong, but I think it's Andrew Berthiaume, and he says, we all wear masks, and the time comes when we cannot remove them without removing some of our own skin. I think that's brilliant.
Wow, that is way cool. I like that. Let me ask you this, though, because, you know, obviously when we wear these masks, I mean, you know, most of the time we are wearing masks because we want some level of protection, I'm thinking. You know, for instance, you know, you're on a first date, so you're wearing your, you know, you're wearing a mask there, obviously, because nobody wants to, you know, nobody wants to, deal with your history, your baggage, your laundry, so to speak,
okay.
your dirty laundry, so to speak, on
right,
a first date.
Right.
So we wear masks there, you know, right, to protect ourselves. We wear masks,
sure.
you know, I would think most of the time, isn't it is a measure to protect ourselves?
It is, but there's a difference between being authentically who you are and wearing a mask all the time. I mean, certainly on your first date, you're not going to air all your dirty laundry, although some people do. Some people just put it out.
And that's why they don't have a second date.
Exactly. And they say, you know, this is who I am. Take it or leave it. And,
right.
you know, I have to give those people a lot of credit because they don't want to play games. And I think a lot of people do that. And, you know, it's okay. I don't know that I would even necessarily call it a mask. I think it's your higher self. It's the better part of who you are when you go out
okay.
on a date. But be authentic. I mean, I'm not going to say that I love, and again, nothing against motorcycles. I just don't happen to be someone who loves to ride a motorcycle. So I'm not going to sit there and pretend that I, you know, I'm really into motorcycles with this person if I'm not, because
right.
that's really not being authentically who I am. And in the long run, it's going to cost me anyway because they're going to find out that I wasn't being true to who I was. So then there's a trust issue.
Right, right. Okay, so let's go back. Let's go back to the top five because
okay.
I kind of segued this. But let's go back to the top five. And which of the top five stand out? What, you know, is there a particular mask that really stands out the most?
You know, I was really surprised at the response I got. I thought it would be either the people pleaser or the functional mask. But it was the mask of anger that most people talked about. They contacted
wow.
me about friends and family members who were wearing this angry mask, and they were telling me how it was, you know, having serious consequences on that person's life. But ironically, they are getting upset in their emails because they're using all caps to show me how angry they are. Now, here's the thing. You know, we can't control another person's reactions. We can't. The only thing that we can control are our own. But I would ask everybody to just kind of step back and take a look at your response in which you show anger. Because anger is an emotion, but it has a lot of variables like frustration, aggression, resentment, even entitlement. And they can all show up as anger response even if we don't recognize it as anger. In fact, I want to share a really quick story with you about somebody I've known for a really, really long time. Nicest guy in the world until he gets behind the wheel of a car. And we were on our way to church one day, and he just felt like the people in front of him were going way too slow pulling into the church parking lot. So he starts laying on his horn, trying to get them to move faster. Now, the thing is, they couldn't go any faster because there's a line of cars going into the church parking lot. So he became this really angry guy, and he was saying, well, how come so many people are here at this time, and they're going to get my spot? Well, that's entitlement. That's entitlement
right.
rearing its ugly head. Now, we go into the service. the parishioners are there, that he's honking at and he's yelling at, are the very same ones that we're shaking hands with and saying, peace be with you. And
right.
he meant it. I mean, he truly meant it. But as we're leaving church, we're stuck in traffic again. And there he is laying on the horn, honking and yelling at the people he just wished peace with to. So that's
right.
a classic case of anger, but it's just sneaking in through the back door.
Yeah, that, you know what, and that's so funny because I could see that. I could see somebody going to church or synagogue or whatever, and they're frustrated, and you know, I could just see this guy, and he doesn't see the connection at all. That,
not at all.
You know, that's amazing. All right, so let me ask you this, because, you know, bottom line, we all feel anger. So are you saying to eliminate it, anger completely, or to eliminate it completely, because most people aren't simply going to be able to do that?
No, of course not. But what I am saying is just allow the feeling of anger, in whatever form it shows up, just acknowledge it, try to find a resolution. That's the best thing. And then let it move through you instead of holding it in your body, because when you hold on to anger for an extended period of time, and some people... Oh, gosh, I work with people that have held on to anger for not just weeks or months, but years. They're
sure.
still holding on to this anger. And to me, it's like, I tell them it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to get sick. It's not going to happen.
Okay,
the only person that's going to suffer is you, because anger will consume you if you don't pay attention to it. So I just say, do you want to be bitter or do you want to get better? Because that's where most of us have problems. We keep reliving a situation over and over and over. And each time you do that, your body is going to act as if you're right back in that moment. And it'll go right into fight or flight. And that's what it's designed to do. Short term, it protects you. But long term, it's going to hurt you.
Right.
I used to get really frustrated in traffic. And one day I went into work and I was venting about, oh, this car pulled out in front of me and there was no one behind me. And then they slowed down. And, of course, you know, I'm telling the story and I'm getting angry all over again. And somebody at work said to me, did you ever think that maybe that person was put in your path to slow you down just long enough to prevent you from being in an accident? Well,
I love that.
No. Yeah, I didn't think about that. But I can tell you this, it shifted my perspective from one of anger to one of gratitude. So now if I'm sitting in traffic and I start getting really frustrated, I think back to her words. I mean, don't you think it's really interesting how driving brings out the aggression in so many people?
Right. You know what? It is amazing because, you know, I think that a lot of people are out there driving thinking that, first of all, they're in this cocoon of safety and that, you know, the example that you gave about this guy going to church, you know, he felt that as long as he was in the car – all the other cars were, you know, he wasn't treating them like people, certainly not like people he was going to go, you know, have a spiritual experience with.
Correct.
And so,
right.
you know, there's that disconnect, that emotional disconnect. If he was able to, you know, we as people, but I'm going to pick on the example you gave, if he was able mm-hmm. to make a connection that, okay, each car that I'm out there with is a person, then you would treat him with a little bit more respect and civility, I would think.
Well, and I think, too, so many people feel like they have lost control of their lives. And the only thing, when they get behind that driver's seat, they really are in the driver's seat, so to speak. Like, I have
right.
control of this, and maybe this is the only thing that you have control over in your life at this point. But, well, I'll tell you, you know, anger, all sorts of emotions show up when people get behind the wheel of a car.
Now, it's amazing. It's amazing. All right, let's go back to the mask because we're almost out of time, and I wanted to talk about this real quick. Do you have some tips to help us, and when I say us, meaning myself and the listeners, to help us remove some of our masks?
Sure. So here's just four simple things to help you get started. First, just be aware. Be aware and acknowledge that you're even wearing one. I think that's the hardest thing. Be honest with yourself because you don't have to answer to anyone except you. Next, just write down the pros and cons of wearing it. How's it working for you? And more importantly, is it hurting you? And if it's hurting you more than it's helping, it's time to remove it. But also understand any new behavior has an adjustment period. So you know, if you're feeling this urge to pick it up again, just be gentle with yourself, no judging. And finally, just take a look at why you're reacting the way that you are and work on changing your filter or that perspective. Don't abandon who you are in order to make someone else happy, because being authentic, I'm telling you, it's one of the healthiest things that you can do for your body.
Absolutely. You know what, and I agree with you. But I think also, and you correct me if you think I'm wrong here, but for us as humans to feel, let's say, more fulfilled, more quote in control, to have, I think, a better quality of life, isn't part of our, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, responsibility to kind of grow. I mean, you know, by taking these masks off, like you said, you know, be aware, you know, see what kind of results these masks are giving you. I love the fact of asking why. Why am I wearing this mask?
Right.
You know, that kind of, what do you call it, self-evaluation is really going to help us grow, and maybe we can look at ourselves and say, you know what, I'm wearing this mask because of a trauma that I experienced, you know, 20 years ago. It's, you know, I got to look at letting it go, right?
Right, exactly. It's and so many people, they're so used to wearing it that they forget they have it on. And then they wonder why they come in and they say, you know, I can't hold a stable job. I can't be in a long-term relationship. What is going on? They've worn this mask so long it's become permanent. So I help them to, let's figure out what's going on, and then I'm going to help you remove it.
I love it. Hey, we're out of time, Dr. Linda McCarthy. Guys, if you have questions about your mask, if you want to maybe look at pointing your life in a new direction, I'm going to urge you to go to newdirectioncoaching.com, newdirectioncoaching.com. Dr. Linda McCarthy helps people literally all over the world. She can probably help you. Dr. Linda, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you so much. I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch, and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.